Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Chaf Beit. We're learning today Le'ilei Nishmas Meni Silber Menachem Mendel Ben Meir. All the neshamos we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Now yesterday's shiur was quite complicated, and we're going to chazer a little bit over from the end of yesterday's shiur. So we're going to begin from Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, 11 lines up from the bottom. I have attached yesterday's handout to today's shiur as well, but if you have it from yesterday, you don't need to reprint that one again. There is a new handout from today, which we'll get to a little bit later in the shiur. But right now, we're still going to refer to yesterday's handout, what I called the handout for Yevamos 21, and refer to that sheet just a little bit more today. So we'll chazer over a little bit we did at the end of yesterday's shiur. So again, we're starting 11 lines up from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis with the words Shalach Le Rav Mesharshia Mitusanya. That's the name of a place. Rav Mesharshia, who came from this city, Tusanya, asked Rav Papi. And the following shaila was, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, please teach us, Rav Papi, what is the halacha for Eishes Achi Avi Ha'av? Now Rashi adds that this is talking about from the paternal side. This is from his father's side. So this is the index person's father's paternal brother. In other words, it's his great-great-uncle, straight up the lineage, only through fathers. And that's because in diagram one from yesterday's shiur, we proved that if you went up to the father's brother from his mother, Eishes Achi Avi Aviv Minoim, we proved that that was permissible. So here we're asking for the wife on the great-great-grandfather's side. What is the status of such a wife? And in addition, he asked in the second one, Vachos Avi Ha'av. This would again be his father's sister. Mahu, what is the halacha in both of these situations? So the Gemara answers, Midlamata Erva, because we said that all of the women below that were Erva, so the generation below that was an Erva, implying Lamala Nami Gazubei. So Mistama, did they also make the Xerva for the generation above it? In other words, Lo Hifsik, or do we say Odilma Ha Ispaleg Dora? So we say now that the generation stopped, and therefore this generation would be allowed. That was the question that Rav Mesharshia from Bitusnaya asked to Rav Papi. Rav Papi answers for the following brisa, Toshma. Mahin Shnios, the brisa said, what are the Shnios? And it listed in the brisa we started yesterday's difficult shiur with, it listed the 8 Shnios, some of which were on the handout. Others we said were so simple we didn't need to put them on the handout from Daf Chaf Aleph. So it didn't mention Velo Kochoshev Luhu Bahadayu, and these were not mentioned, implying that those are not Shnios. Where it says, no. Tana Vishir, we left out some, and therefore it wasn't all inclusive that price, and therefore there could be more than the 8 that were listed. So Gemara says, my shir, the Hashir, how many did you leave out? That we say you have to leave out at least one other one. You can't just leave out one, so you have to be more than just one. So these two were left out. What additional ones were left out that they weren't included? These count really as one. So the Gemara says, Shir Shneos to Rabbi Chia. Oh, this is where we ended off the shir yesterday. We said we would introduce additional 6 new Shnios Arayas that Rav Chia had brought down. Now, we'll get to those in a moment, but here we pick up where we left off yesterday. Until now it was Chazar, and now we're going to continue Vaitu in the Gemara. So on Meimar, when asked about these, Achshir bi Eishes Achi Avi Aviv, he permitted the Araya that we just mentioned, as well as Uzbachos Avi Aviv. So he permitted these two and said that they're not Shnios Arayas. So I'm like Rav Hillel or Rav Ashi. Rav Hillel says, Rav Ashi, how can you say that? I myself, Lididi, Chazili, I myself personally saw the listing of the Shnios of Mar Berei de Ravana, who is an extremely great Rav, and if he stated something, then that must be the din. And I saw his list, and it said on an Uksivan, Shisrei Li Surah, that there are 16 Shnios Larayas. And what are these 16? My love, don't they include Tamnei D'Masni? So the 8 that we brought down at the beginning of the shiur yesterday in the Braisa, and mustn't it be Vishis Devei Rav Chia, the 6 from Rav Chia that we're going to learn momentarily. So 6 and 8 is 14. And what are the other two? V'hanach Tarti, these two that we're questioning over here, the Achi Adi Aviv and the Achos Adi Aviv. That's the 16. So I myself saw them on the list of Mar Berei de Ravana, and it must be that they're Osir. That's the 16, Hoshisri. So the Gemara says, no. Rav Ashi responds, and he says, Ul Tamech, and according to you, it should be 17, Shivsri Havayin. Because if you remember from yesterday's shiur, we also added the Ha'ika, Eishas Achi Ha'aim, Min Ha'aim. And if you look at diagram number 2, that was the woman that we had with a question mark, the maternal uncle's wife through the grandmother, Eishes Achi HaEimin HaEim. And we had brought down yesterday that she was a Shnios, and therefore that would be 17. So if you're saying you saw this, then it should have been 17. How could you only see 16? We had Pashtin and Lisur, we had Pashtin yesterday, that was an Eshnios Learayos. Surah Rav Hillel responds to this Shaila from Rav Ashi. No, Halo Kasha. Now we turn to Chavez Amud Aleph. That's not a problem because Hanach Tarte, the two that we have a question about now, the Damiel Hadodi, they're very similar to each other. They're both on the grandfather level. One is a sister and one is a sister-in-law. So they're both on that same level. They're only counted as one. So when you include the Eishes Achi HaEim Min HaEim, as you said, number 17, it's really number 16, because what you would call number 15 and 16 is really counted as one. And therefore, it's only 16. Boshisarei. Bottom line is, Hamikom Okom, Lididi Chazon Lon Dersivon Lisura. So he says, I therefore saw these 16 is listed, and that's the answer, that these two cases are in fact Osir. And again, Rav Ashi says, did you see it signed? Amalei, Ultemech. If you had seen that he'd written down that they were leheter, that those two cases were leheter, would you have believed them? So don't believe them. If they'd written leheter, don't believe them written leisura, because the Marbury Ravina, michosim alayu. Did you see his signature on the bottom saying, this is my halachic opinion? No, you didn't see that. You just saw a list that was attributed to Mar Berei de Ravina. And therefore, hashta, nami dechsiv leisura, lav Mar Berei de Ravina. It's Lav Davka, then it's Marbury the Ravina. It's not necessarily authentic. And therefore, the fact that you said that you saw it Le'isser doesn't mean anything, because if you'd seen it Le'etir, it wouldn't have meant anything as well. So we don't come to a definitive conclusion as to what his opinion was. It wasn't authentic enough. Okay. Now, we had mentioned the six Shnios of Rav Chiya, so we're now going to discuss them. And here we have my handout from today. Now, there is a diagram in the art scroll on page 22A1 that you can refer to. I believe my diagram is a little bit more simplified and a little bit easier to see. Feel comfortable to use either one. Now, if you look at my diagram, which again is called the handout for 22, you've almost 22, it lists all of the six arayas, and we'll go through them right now. So, Tana Dei Rabbi Chiya. And they learned in the base medrash of Rabbi Chiya. Shlishi shebivno. If you go down to the third generation, now we look at the index person here as not being included as one of the generations. So his children, the child generation that I have all the way on the right side of the diagram underneath the index person, so that's called generation one. The grandchild generation, which I've listed there, that's called generation number two. And the great-grandchild generation, that's called generation number three. When we go up, we're going to see that we do include the index case line as generation one. So the parent will be generation two, the grandparent will be generation three, and the great-grandparent will be generation four. And the obvious question is, why do we list the index person line going up? We didn't list it going down. And the Gemara will ask this question, the Gemara will answer it. But that's just to keep you overall understanding this diagram. So the index person, that row, that level, going down is not included as a generation, but going up it is included as the first generation. So the six Shnios L'arayis, according to Rav Chiya, are as follows. Shlishi Shebivno. If you go down to the third generation, which is the great-grandchild generation, all the women in that generation are Shnios L'arayis. Okay? And this includes Shlishi Shebivno. If you go down from the index person to his son, and you go down to his son's daughter below that, so that's Bas Ben Bino, so she will be one. And the next one is Shebibito. If you go down to his daughter's son's daughter, Bas Ben Bito, that's a Shnia. And here you had a primary on the granddaughter level, his daughter's daughter, that's an Erev Min HaTorah. And that's the reason why we would go there, the Shnios here, because the generation below that, the great-grandchild generation, what's called the Shlishi generation here, is too similar to the Erev Min HaTorah that one could make a mistake. And therefore, the rabbis, Rav Chiya's Beis Medrash, they said that these are also Shnios L'arayis. So that's the two from the index person's son and from his daughter, Shlishi Shebibno and Shlishi Shebibito. The next two are from his wife's side. Now, his wife had another husband, and she's going to have a son and a daughter from that other husband. And those children will have grandchildren. So this is the great-grandchild generation through his wife's son and through his wife's daughter, which are not his own son and daughter. So these two are Ben Ishto, going down from the son of his wife, from another husband, and going down to that person's granddaughter. From his daughter, that would be an Erev Min HaTorah. His daughter is also an Erev Min HaTorah. I didn't put that on the chart. But the granddaughter, through his daughter, is an Erev Min HaTorah. So this would be, again, the man, the indexed person's case, his wife's child from another husband's daughter's daughter. That's the Erev Min HaTorah. But first we discuss the Sheben Ishto. This would be now going down to the far right of the diagram. We have his wife's son through another man, and that man had a son. So that's his wife's grandson through her son, and that person had a daughter. So this is her great-granddaughter through her son's son. This is called Bas Ben Binah. So that's Vishaben Ishto, and then Vishabas Ishto. This would be her daughter's son's daughter. That would not be an Erev Min HaTorah, but it's a Shnios Min HaArayos. This is Bas Ben Bita. So these are the four that I have listed on the great-grandchild level. All of them are Shnios L'Arayos, according to Reb Chia. So these are Shnia. Fine. Those are four. And then if you go up the chart, they're called the fourth generation now. We're going to the great-grandparent level. Again, here we counted the index person. His generation is generation one. Parent generation two, grandparent generation three. So the great-grandparent level is called generation four. So Revi Shebuchamiv, if you go up on his father-in-law and mother-in-law's side, so they're married, father-in-law and mother-in-law here are married, and if you go up to the great-grandparent level, so you're going to encounter Shnios, two Shnios, according to Rav Chia. Now, the grandmother of his wife, we'll call her his grandmother-in-law, through both her father, her grandmother through her father, Aim Chomiv, and also her grandmother through her mother, Aim Chamoso. So these are both Arayos Min HaTorah, Erev Min HaTorah. That's on the grandparent level. And therefore, Rav Chia says we will go there one generation up, Aim Chomiv, and Aim Chamoso. These are the two that are called the Shnia over here, the Shnios, that are going up in the fourth generation. So these are the six Arayos of Rav Chia. Now the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina leRavashi, Maishno lamala deko choshiv lo ishto, Maishno lamala lamato delo choshiv lo ishto." Why did we not count the index row generation going down, and therefore we called the great grandchild level the third generation, and when we went up, we called it the fourth generation? It's the same number of generations away from the index row. So why in the bottom do we not count them, and in the top we did count them? An obvious question, a semantics type of a question. So Gemara says, Ravashi responds as follows: Lema'ala di isuri mikoch ishto ka'asi chashiv lo. Going up, since the wife was the source of the iser, so therefore we counted the husband-wife level over here as being level one, generation one. And therefore, the great-grandparent is going to be generation four. But lamato, when you're going down, the sura lav mikoach ishtokosi, the isur came from himself, not from his wife. So therefore, we didn't count him. He's the index person, so we didn't count him. And therefore, the child is generation one, grandchild generation two, and the great-grandchild is generation three. So that's Ravashi's answer. Again, it's a semantics issue. It's not a halachic issue. So Ravina questions further, and he says, "Vaha ben ishto ubas ishto." Wait a second. On his wife's side going down, so then it's through his wife. It's not through him. So on the wife's side going down, you should have listed the great-grandchild as the fourth generation through his wife. But it's still called the third generation. We seem to be inconsistent. On the wife's side going down, the Isur Mikoch Ishto Kasi Velo Choshiv Lo. You didn't count her. So why did you count it going up? Going up, because it was from the wife's side, you counted the wife as generation one. But going down, which is also came from the wife's side, at least on her side of the shniyos, the two that are on the right side of my diagram, so you should have counted the wife in that situation. So the Gemara gives the obvious teretz. You can't keep on counting the same generation. The great-grandchild level sometimes is the third generation, sometimes is the fourth generation. So Rav Ashi responds to Ravina, and he says, I did the ton of shlosh doros lamata didei v'lo chashova, since on his side, the left side of the diagram going down, we didn't include him because he's the index person, so we included the child as generation one, the grandchild generation two, the great-grandchild as generation three, so then on his wife's side going down, we also didn't include her. Albeit we included her going up, but we don't include her going down. Tananami, Shosha Doros Lamata, Dida Velo Chashava. On her side, we don't include her going down, but we did include her going up. And that's because going up, there was no problem in including her on both the father's side, the Chamov side, and the Chamosa side. So therefore, you can include her going up, and therefore the great grandparents are the fourth generation. But going down, since on his side it was the third generation, if you'd include her, then it would be on her side, it would be the fourth generation. That would be inconsistent. So therefore, we just called going down the third generation. The great-grandchild is the third generation. Again, this is all semantics, and it's not halacha, a difference between whether you call them the third or the fourth generation. Now the Gemara is going to address the question of the idea of hefsik. Yesterday we said some situations the arayos keep on going to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, to the next generation. They keep on going on because of the concern from the original primary Erev in HaTorah. And others, we say, no, it stops over there. The rabbis would go to a single Shneos L'Rais, but doesn't necessarily continue to the next generation. So that's now what the Gemara is going to ask. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi is Rav Kahana. Shneos D'Rei Rav Chia, Yeshlem Hefsek, O'en Lehem Hefsek. According to these six Arayis, that's the simple way that Rashi understands this. These six Arayis, do they go on to the next level? Do they not go on to the next level? Tosos and others bring down, maybe that's not the case, it's not talking about all the Arayas. Tosos ultimately concludes it is talking about all of the Arayas. Let's learn it nice and simple, that it's talking about all six of the Shneos, Devei Reb Chia. Do they or do they not have a continuation to the next generation, or does it stop over there at that generation? The third generation, like we said, the great-grandchild generation going down, and to the great-grandparent generation going up, or does it continue to the great-great-grandparent generation, to the great great grandchild generation. That's the Shaila. Toshma. The Amar Rav. Rav had said that there are only Arba Noshim Yeshlam Hefsik, and Rav had had three. Rav Zera was the fourth one. So it seems to imply that only those three had no Hefsik, Vesulo, implying that Rav Chia's six cases of Shneos Arayos over here are not included in that those have a Hefsik, but they would continue to go on. So we'd go to the great great grandparent level, and we'll go on to the great great grandchild level, etc., and go on further and further. There is no Hefsik. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. When Rav said his din, he was only talking about the eight original ones that we have from the Brisa. Dumo ki amar Rav. When Rav said his din, ki amar Rav lahayi masnisi. He was only talking about that Brisa. He wasn't dealing with the six of Rav Chia. Maybe for the six of Rav Chia, he would also say that there is a hefsek for them as well. Lav dafka, you can't bring a Saraya because he said by the Brisa, those are the four lav dafka that there could be elsewhere where there is yesh hefsek. So he tried to bring a Raya from the following, Toshma. Rav Chia himself seemed to say that only the Shlishi going down and the Revi going up, those were the Shneos L'Arayis were. Implication being, for those generations, the Shlishi going down, the Revi going up, to the grandchild, the great-grandchild level going down, and to the great-grandparent level going up, only those are the Shneos L'Arayis. Implication being, Tvei Lo, that it is Hefsik, it doesn't go up further. Shmuel says, no, Dilma, that's not maybe what he means. Mishlishi v'elech, mivri v'elech. Who says that it's limiting it to the third generation down, the great-grandchild generation down, and to the great-grandparent generation going up, the fourth generation, as we called it? No, maybe that's where the Shneos start from, but Lav Davka, it ends over there, it continues to go on, so we have no diuk from Rav Chia's Lashon as well, and therefore we're left with Nibay, the Lord Shitale. We don't know, is there a Hefsik or is there not a Hefsik for Rav Chia's six Shneos L'Arayis. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Amalei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman the following shaila: Chazimar hai may Rabbanon the awesome in Rava. Did you see anybody coming over from Eretz Yisrael? For Amar who said, boy may Rava. They asked in Eretz Yisrael the following shaila: Gazu Shneos Begerim, olo Gazu Shneos Begerim. When we have a convert, a person who's a ger, so we have the basic rule that ger is kikotin shenola dami. That a person who's a convert, so his biological relatives, when he was a non-Jewish person, aren't considered halachically his relatives when he is a Jewish person. And therefore, technically, the non-Jewish person would be allowed to go marry his sister, his mother, his daughter, because halachically they're not related to him, because he's a ger, sheniskaya, when this convert converts, he is considered like a brand new person, kikotin shenola dami, as if he was just born, and therefore any pre-existing relationships don't occur halachically, they go away. So that's the question. Are we gozer by the shnios, by the gerim or not? So can a ger marry what we would say would be prohibited to a yid as a shnios larayis, or do we say no, but the same rules apply halachically to a ger shniskay? So that was the question he asked. Did you ever hear them ask this question? So I'm a lay. So Rav Nachman responds to Rava, and he says, no, it doesn't make any sense. Hashtu umar erva gufa, the Erva itself, the mother, the daughter, the sister, the real arayas themselves, technically are permitted to the gerushin izgayer. And the only reason why the rabbis forbade them was ilav shelo yomru boy mikdusha chamur l'kdusha kala. The only reason why the rabbis prohibited a ger from marrying his sister or any of the other real arayas that are arayas for a yid midaraisa, because it would look funny. The ger, when he was a non-Jewish person, wasn't allowed to marry his sister, and now that he became a Jew, he's allowed to marry his sister. So you're going from what would appear to be a kedusha chamura, a stricter state of being a non-Jew, to a lesser state of kedusha being a Jew. That just doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the rabbis were gozer. So they were only gozer for the primary arayas. So it wasn't for this concern of boy mikdusha chamur l'kdusha kala lo gozru b'rabbanim. The rabbis would never have made such a gzera. There was no, they didn't feel there was a need for it, other than for the fact that it looks funny that before they weren't allowed to marry this girl. Now they convert, they're allowed to marry that girl, their sister. So the Gemara says the only rabbis would gozer it for that reason. So therefore, they only gozer it for the primary arayas. Shneos b'baya, would you have to ask a shaila about the shneos? Certainly, the rabbis did not. That's what Rav Nachman responds to Rava. He continues, Amar Rav Nachman, he adds further, Gerim, since we discussed the halacha now of Gerim, that you brought up the Shaila, Hov, also Yodan, since it came into our hands. In other words, we had a Shaila about it, Nehme B'Milzal, he had another din about Gerim that is related to this din. Achin Minu'ein Lo Yo'idu. Technically, we don't allow two brothers that converted when they were going, they were brothers. So they were maternal brothers, they had the same mother, so we technically do not allow them to go and testify. I mean, then they're allowed to, because Ger, that is Miskayer, Kikot and Shinola Dami. So halachically, they're technically not related. But since we know for a fact that they had the same mother, that's not something that is open to a question. We know for a fact physically which was their mother. So therefore, Mid the Rabbanon, we don't allow them to go and testify. But Bid the Evid, after the fact, in Eidu, Eidus and Eidus, technically, it's perfectly good Eidus that they're allowed to give. But Achin Min Av, if they only were paternal brothers when they were Goyim, so then even l'chatchila me'idin l'chatchila, we allow them to go and be made even l'chatchila. So it's only a gzeira, a takana over here that the rabbi set up, that they don't allow maternal brothers who were brothers biologically when they were non-Jewish and they converted. We don't allow them l'chatchila, but bid the eved, we do allow them to testify. But if they were paternal brothers only when they were goyim, so then when they convert, we do allow them to even testify l'chatchila. That's what Rav Nachman said. A neighbor disagreed. Amema Amar, no. Afilu achim ino aim, nami me'idin l'chachila. He says, even maternal brothers, with no doubt that they are biologically brothers, we can always say the paternity you're not sure about. And therefore, you could suspect that their promiscuity, maybe they had different fathers, so they're not really paternal brothers. But maternal brothers, that there's no doubt about, and therefore you might have thought that we should make this gezeira the Rav Nachman said. So Maimon says, no, even l'chatchila, we allow maternal brothers to testify, because after all, gerush and iskayer kikotish no ladami, they're not halachically related. So the Gemara says, how come by arayus we make such a gezeira? Umaish no me arayus. By arayus we said that we are gozer to not allow the primary arayus when they convert to go and marry a man who converts. Can I marry his sister? So if she converts as well, they're still considered brother and sister from a gzeira point of view. But by testimony, Amemar to 100% and Rav Nachman at least 50% says that we don't concern ourselves with this. So the Gemara asks, Maish nomi arayus, why by testimony are we more meiko than our arayus? So the Gemara says, Ervo, in regards to the arayus, lakol mesura, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is involved in that. And therefore, people can make a mistake and say, oh, wow, that guy married his sister. It must be that you're permitted to marry your sister. And therefore, that could be a terrible takola. However, Eidos, who goes and provides testimony? You provide testimony in front of a Beis Din. So Eidos le Beis Din Mesura, since only a Beis Din can accept testimony, Beis Din isn't going to make a mistake. And therfore, we could go to the primary din of Gerushin Iskai, Kekot Nishanol Adami, as we've mentioned already several times. And therefore, there is no concern that, oh, if Beis Din allowed these two brothers to go and give testimony, the next Beis Din is going to go and say, well, those two brothers can also give testimony, but they're not going to realize that these two brothers were from Geirus, and therefore they're not halachically related to each other. Ger, Shinkai, Kakon, Shdol, Adami. Ah, and the other two brothers, they are Yiddish brothers, so of course the Beis Din will know that they can't give testimony. So there's no potential for takala by Eidos, so therefore the rabbis were not required to go make any gezeiros. As opposed to by the common person, if they see that a man was allowed to marry a sister, they'll think that a man is allowed to marry a sister, Rachmona Litzlan, and that could lead to a tremendous takala. That finishes off this very complicated sugya for now, and we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah starts, Mishi Yeslo Ach Mikol Makom, if a person has a brother from any place. What does it mean from any place? We'll see that this means that he has an illegitimate brother, for example, a mamzer. So, Zokek is Eshus Ochel Yibam. This brother, while he's an illegitimate brother in the sense that he's a mamzer, nevertheless, the first brother who Nebuch passes away, Reuven, who passes away, so Reuven's wife, Rachel, falls in Yibam to the mamzer brother, Shimon. Again, we won't allow Yibam to be done in that situation. We will do Chalitza, but there is a concept over here that they will fall to the brother. This is an Och Mikol Makom. Any type of a brother who's in the world is, in this situation, going to have the Chiyuv of Yibam, or, as we will practically do it in this situation, Chalitza, because it's forbidden for the widow of Reuven to go and marry a mamzer. Now, Zokei Kesei Och of Yibam. There is this din of Yibam. Likewise, the this mamzer brother, Shimon, the mamzer brother, is considered Reuven's brother in all regards. The Gemara will explain what this means. This will apply to a number of these details in dinim, such as Yerusha and Tumah, etc. So we'll see this when we get to the Gemara. One exception to this rule that a brother is a brother no matter what, this would be any type of illegitimate brother that was a Yiddish brother. However, as opposed to a brother, Rachmona Litzlan, Reuven and Shimon's father, Yaakov, so he had an illegitimate relationship, not with with a girl that created a mamzer, but he had it with a non-Jewish woman, or a shivcha kenanis, and the children from such a relationship, from a woman who is an Ovedes Kochavim, or a shivcha kenanis, those children are not considered Yiddish children, and therefore, in this situation, Shimon, who is his biological brother, is not his halachic brother, and there is no din of Och Mikol Mokom in this situation. Again, the Gemara will discuss a little bit the ramifications of this in more detail. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Mishi Yesh Lo Bein Mikol Mokom, if a person has a son, again, of any type, meaning even an illegitimate child, such as a mamzer. So then, Poter Eishes Ovid Min Ayibam. So then, this illegitimate son, so even though this child is not an appropriate child from a halachi point of view, nevertheless, he is considered a son. So therefore, when Reuven dies, he's not dying childless. He had this illegitimate son. He had this mamzer. And therefore, Reuven's wife, Rachel, will not fall in Yibum. We'll have the regular routine Isser of Eishes Ach. She would be forbidden to go and have Yibum or Chalitza or to have any relationship with Shimon, her brother-in-law, because this is not an Eishes Ach Yibum situation. This is an Eishes Ach, and Reuven had children, albeit they were illegitimate. The Chayev, furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, Al Makoso Val Kiloso, this child, who's an illegitimate child, nevertheless, if he were to go and hit his father, or he were to go and curse his father, so this would be over the tremendous Yisurim of hitting your father or cursing your father, and he would be Chayav Misa. So this applies to even an illegitimate son. And Ubino L'chol Dover, he's considered a son for all other matters, like we said, for Yerusha purposes or for Tumah purposes. This illegitimate child is nevertheless halachically, and for all halachic purposes, the son of the father. Now, the exceptions over here as well are chutz mimishiyesh lo bein min hashivcha or min avedes kochavim. Again, only if he has a Yiddish child. If the child is not considered a Jewish child, for example, the father had relations with either a goita or with a shivcha kinanis. So in these situations, the child follows the mother, and the mother is an avedes kochavim or shivcha kinanis, so the child is not considered Jewish. And in this situation, the father is not considered as if he has a child. And then, if he were to die, and he had a wife who was a legitimate wife, Rachel, so then she would fall Yibam, even though he biologically had a child, but halachically he's not considered to have a child. So the Mishnah taught us a lot of dinim. Let's now analyze and dissect this a little bit more. So we first asked the question when we said that Mishyesh L'och Mikol Mokom, what does that mean? Mikol Mokom, what does that come to include? Lasuye Mai, who else is included? So as I mentioned, Amar Yehuda Lasuye Mamzer, this comes to include an illegitimate child that Nebuch was a mamzer. The father over here had relations with an Eishes Ish, so the child that's born is a mamzer. So this is halachically considered a child of the father or a brother of Reuven. So Shimon, in this situation, Yaakov had an adulterous relationship with a woman and gave birth to a child, Shimon. So Shimon is the halachic brother of Reuven. And then if Reuven were to die childless, so technically there would be a chiyuv of Yibam, albeit, as I said, we do chalitza because it's an issa to marry the mamzer, so we would do chalitza in this situation, but there would be a obligation for Reuven's widow, Rachel, to have chalitza, to undergo chalitza with Shimon the mamzer. So, Mor says, Pshita, Achifu, what's the chiddush over here? Why do I need a Mishnah to tell me this? Shimon's his brother. Why would I think not? So Mor says, no, I might have thought otherwise. Mild detain, I might have said, Leilef, Achva mi bnei Yaakov. We learned out, where do we see this din of Yibam? We learned it out from the idea that it has to be a brother that's alive with you at the same time. And the brothers of the Shvatim were all called Achim. And there, it uses the terminology of Achim, and by Yibam, it uses the terminology of Achim. We had this Gezei Rishava a few days ago. So, Malahalan Kisherit V'lo Psulim. I would have said that they have to be just paternal brothers. That's why we had that, and not maternal brothers. It's only paternal brothers, but also they all had to be legitimate. All the Shiftei Ka were holy, holy people, and they all were legitimate marriages. So, Malahalan Kisherit, the Shiftei Ka, when it uses the terminology Achim, is Koshera Achim, and not Psulim. None of them were illegitimate. None of them were Mamzerim, Rahman al-Islam. So, Avkan Kisherit V'lo Psulim. So, I might have thought that the din of Yibam only applies if you have a brother who's a kosher, but not if you had a brother who's a apostle. Kamash Malan, that's not true. We don't, in fact, make that Gzei Rishava connection all the way. Mor says, why not? Deim Hochanami. Why not? After all, sounds like it's a good Gzei Rishava. You carry Gzei Rishava through, all the way through. So not only does it tell you that it's paternal brothers and not maternal brothers, but it should tell you that it's legitimate paternal brothers and not Rechmon al-San Amamzer. So Gemara says, no, kivon delinyan yibam miftar niftar, because in regards to yibam, we said if you had an illegitimate child, that means that you didn't die childless, so it exempts Rachel, the widow of Reuven. If Reuven had an illegitimate child, it exempts her from undergoing yibam or chalitza. So since it works that way, so we turn to Chav Bei Zomad Aleph, it works the other way as well. Mizkak nami zokik. So then this brother is called a yavam in regards to the din of yibam. Again, we won't let an iser occur. This would be a iser to go and have the widow of Reuven marry a mamzer, so therefore we wouldn't do Yibam, but technically she falls in Yibam, albeit we would insist that you do Chalitza in that situation. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'ochim l'chol dover, this Shimon mamzer, brother of Reuven, is his brother in regards to all matters. What does it mean in regards to all matters? What is this coming to include or teach us? So, liyarsho uli tamilo. This is coming to teach us the halachos of Yerusha, that Shimon is a perfectly valid person to collect the Yerusha, even though he's illegitimate from a yichus point of view, but he's considered a son, and he's entitled to his share. And likewise, l'tamilo. If Reuven were to be a Kohen, so normally Kohen's not allowed to be metami, but he's allowed to be metami to the Zion Krovim, and a brother is one of the Zion Krovim, so therefore he would be allowed to be metame to help in the burial of his illegitimate brother Shimon, who is a mamzer. Nevertheless, Reuven the Kohen would be allowed to go and be involved in his burial and be metame to him. Gemara says, again, both of these dinim, Yorsho, Lutami, Lo, Pshita, they're both very obvious. After all, Achifu, Shimon is his brother. Why would I think otherwise? So Gemara says, no, so Gedai the Chamina. I would have thought otherwise. What would I might have thought? I might have said, ho, since the Pasuk tells us that Ki im l'sheiro ha-karov elov, since the Pasuk tells us that a Kohen is only allowed to go and be mitame lishero hakorvilov, which we interpret over there means omar mar sheero zuisto. This refers to his wife, and it says uksiv lo yitame bal biyamov lehechalo. He's not allowed to go be mitame in a situation that would be lehechalo, which would be a desecration. So, in other words, yesh baal shem mitame, yesh baal shem mitame. If the husband's married to a legitimate wife, so then he's allowed to be mitame to his wife lishero hakorvilov. But if he's married illegitimately, if he's married to a woman that he wasn't allowed to be married to, so then he's not allowed to be Matami to her because he has to divorce her. So Yesh Baal Shem Matami, sometimes a husband is Matami to his wife, Yesh Baal Shem Matami, sometimes a husband is not Matami to his wife. Hoketza, what's an example of this? Matami uli yishto kishayru, vein Matami yishto psula. He's only allowed to be Matami Nebuch if his wife passes away, if his wife was allowed to be married to him, it was a kosher marriage, so then he can be Matami to his wife. But if he was married to a grusha, let's say, he's married to a woman that he wasn't allowed to be married to, so then he's not allowed to be Matami to such a wife because we would have forced him to be divorced in real life. So therefore, if she dies, we don't allow him to be Matami to her. Similarly, therefore, I would have said over here too, Hochanami, that this illegitimate brother, Metami Huliach Kosher, the Kohen, Reuven, is only allowed to be Metami to Levi Yehuda, that are legitimate brothers, but he can't be Metami to the Mamzer brother, Shimon. That's what I might have thought based upon Lashero Hakarvi love, meaning that it has to be a Kosher wife, so maybe it has to be a Kosher brother too. Hochanami, Metami Huliach Kosher, Vein Metami Loch Possel. He can only be Metami to a legitimate brother, but he couldn't be Metami to the the brother Shimon, who's a mamzer, Kamash Balan, that that's not true. Gemara says, why not? It sounds like it's a very good drasha. Why isn't it true? So Gemara says, Hosim Lafuke Kaima, because there, in the case when he's married to a woman, he's not allowed to be married to, so that marriage is going to end. That's why we don't allow to be matami to it. They were supposed to get divorced. Here, this is his brother. This is his brother. There's nothing you can do about it. It's his brother no matter what. And therefore, under all circumstances, he's considered to be his brother. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chutz mi sheyesh lo och min hashivcha umin ha'ovedes kochavim. This comes to exclude someone who has a brother that was not a Jewish brother. The brother was from a shivcha or min ha'ovedes kochavim, so that is not considered as a halachic brother. Why not? My timer, because the pasuk says, "Al makra ha'isha v'ilo del tiel adonai." We have from Parshas Mishpatim where it tells us that a person who is allowed to go and marry a shivcha kananis when he is an eved ivri. So if he does have children, not all eved ivri are allowed to do that. Only certain situations where an eved ivri is allowed to go marry a shivcha kananis. So those children belong to the master. They don't belong to him. They're not considered his children. Ha'isha v'ilo del, the wife and those children, tiel adonai, they technically belong to the master, and therefore we see that they're not considered his children, and therefore this brother, if it were to be a brother from a shivcha or an eved, ovedes kochavim, would not be considered his halachic brother. Biological, yes. Halachic, no. Then the Mishnah said, Mishiesh lo bein, mikol makom poter v'chule. We said that if you have a child, if Reuven were to have a child, so then if Reuven were to die, he's not called dying childless in that situation. And this is true even if it's an illegitimate child. Again, what does it come to include? Mikol makom. Mikol makom asu yamai. So again, I'll review the asu yamamzer. Again, the same thing. It comes to include a child that is a mamzer. Why is this so? My time of the Gemara says, why is a child who's a mamzer considered that he dies not childless? Because the pasuk says, Domakra ubein. Ain lo. The ain is spelled Rashi. This is Rashi's understanding. There are other understandings of this. Rashi says the word ain could have been spelled without a yud. He gives examples of where it's spelled without a yud. And therefore, by the placement of the yud over here in the word ain, it means to be medayik ayin olov. Go and check it out to make sure that there is no brother, even an illegitimate brother. So therefore, it says, Bain ain lo. The Reuven dies childless. It has to be that you really analyzed it ayin olov to make sure that not only is there no legitimate child, but even an illegitimate child would prevent Reuven's widow, Rachel, from falling in even to Shimon. Then the Mishnah said that such a child is chayiv amakoso, an illegitimate child, the mamzer, is not allowed to go hit his father, is not allowed to curse his father. If he does, he would be chayiv those terrible isurim. Why am I? After all, shouldn't we apply kari kan v'nosiv yamcho lo sar? It says as well in Mishpatim that if a person is acting only the amcha, do a lot of these dinim applies. They only apply to an erlich hayid. They don't apply to a non-erlich hayid. So if a person is not an erlich hayid, so then there is no isser in his children necessarily. Not saying that they should, but there's no isser of misa, of skila, in that child going and hitting or cursing their father. So after all, this illegitimate child, he's a product of mamzerus. He's a product of an illegitimate relationship, an adulterous relationship that made him into a mamzer. So his father certainly didn't act ba'amcha in the way, ba'osei ma'asei amcha. So why is the child, the illegitimate mamzer child, chayiv in kibud of aim? So Gemara says, this is like, kidama Rapinchas mishmei the Rapapa. Rapinchas said the name of Rapapa. What did he say? That the father did tshuva, ba'osei tshuva. And in that situation, which is said elsewhere, there's a Mishnah Chagiga that said that if a person stole a kli cheres, so he is believed when he says, I wasn't metamiyah. After all, he's a ganav. Why do we believe him? So it says that he did tshuva. So just like Rapinchas, Mishmei the Rapapa, said we believe him when he did tshuva, so too, we're talking here that the child has to go and honor the father. He shouldn't hit the father, he shouldn't curse the father. He'd be chayiv if he did so, if the father did tshuva. Hachanami kish also tshuva. We're talking here in our Mishnah that the child is chayiv amakosav akilaso if the father did tshuva. The Gemara says, is he able to do tshuva? V'hai bar tshuva ho? But nam, but we learned in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah we also had in Chagiga, that this is the classical example of an adulterous child that's born, a mamzer that is born. We learned, Shimon ben Asi Omer, ezu me'uvas lo yichol liskon, when it says in Koheles that there are certain types of averus that can never be corrected, it's crooked and it can't be straightened out. That is an example. That's if somebody had an adulterous relationship that led to a child being born, and that child's a mamzer. You can never undo that. No matter how much tshuva you do, that child is still a mamzer. So how can you tell me that this father over here, who had this illegitimate child, did tshuva, that the child now has to be mechabit him, and he'd be chayiv amakoso v'alkil loso? After all, Mu'uvas lo yichol liskon. This is an incorrectable type of an avla. So the Gemara says, no. Hashta, miya, osa, maisi, amchu. No. The bottom line is, he did do tshuva. There's no way to correct the mamzer, but you can't correct the aveira that you did. You can undo the mamzer, but you can be doing tremendous tshuva for such a terrible aveira, and therefore, now the father is doing ma'ase yamcha. Therefore, the child is obligated now to honor the father, and rachmona l'tzad, if he curses or hits the father, he will be chayav misa. Now the Gemara continues and brings down the following brisa, Tana Rabbanan. Habo alachoso, rachmona l'tzad, if somebody has relations with his sister, and she is in addition to being his sister, v'hi bas eishes aviv, she is also the daughter of his father's wife. Now, what is this talking about? Obviously, if it's a sister, it's going to be a sister to either the mother or the father. So when it says, he bas eishes aviv, it comes to add that this, Rashi tells us, is the ayidei nisuin nodoli aviv, the loba onsen. So this is coming to be mechadish here, that she is his legitimate daughter. They have the same father and mother. So we're dealing here, if a person has relations with his sister, who is also is his legitimate sister from the same mother and father. So then, chayev for two. Mishum achosa, for having relations with his sister, and mishum bas eishes aviv. And also because he's having relations with his father's wife's daughter. These are two separate aveiros, and if a person were to do them b'shogeg, so Rashi tells us that in this situation, v'mshogeg, the next Rashi, v'mshogeg chayiv shtei chatos, he would be chayiv two chatos, because it's two separate aveiros that he was over. Achoso and bas eishes aviv. Chayiv mishum achoso, mishum bas eishes aviv. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yosef ben Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yosef ben Yehuda omer, eino chayiv ela mishum achoso bavad. You'd only be chayiv one time because of achoso, and it would not allow you to also be chayiv elo mimei bas eishes aviv. Not for the additional iso bas eishes aviv, if you in fact were to have done this, you would only be chayiv one chatos by accident if you did this, according to Rav Yosef ben Yehuda. Now what's the understanding? The rest of the shiur today will be deriving from the psukim, each of their respective shitos. My tamayi de rabbanim. What's the reason for the rabbanim, the Tanakama, that say you chayiv two chatos in this situation, for being over achoso and bas eishes aviv? So the Chacham hold Amre, look at the Pesukim, Michtei, one Pasuk. Now here we're dealing with Parshas Achrimos, Perik Yud Ches, we're going to deal with Pasuk Tes, Yud, and Yud Aleph. Right now we're only dealing with Tes and Yud Aleph. We'll eventually come back to Pasuk Yud as well. So let's read all three Pesukim. So the first Pasuk is Pasuk Tes, which is Ervas Achosecha Baso Vicha Ovasimecha Moledes Bayis O Moledes Chutz Lo Segala Ervoson. And then the next Pasuk is Ervas Bas Bincha O Bas Bitcha Lo Segala Ervoson Ki Ervoscho Heina. And then the next pasuk is Ervas Bas Eishes Ovicha Moledes Ovicha Achoscho Hi Lo Segala Ervoson. So now we see all three pesukim. I didn't translate them because we're going to go now and translate each one and look at each one individually. But these are the three pesukim that we're dealing with. Again, first we're dealing with pasuk Tes and Yud Aleph, and then we're going to go back to the middle pasuk Yud. So Michti, let's take a look at these pesukim. Siv says in the first pasuk, in pasuk Tes, Ervas Achoscho Bas Ovicha Ovasi Mecha. You're not allowed to go see the Erva. In other words, don't have relations with your sister, who is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. Now, you're not allowed to have relations with them. It's an Isser of Erva. Rashi points out, by not mentioning specifically what type of relationship this is, it comes to tell us this is true. Erva sachoscho basavicho vasimecha. This is whether it's a legitimate or whether it's an illegitimate daughter. In other words, was it through a real marriage or was it nebuch outside of marriage? Then Pasuk Yidala tells us, additionally, Ervas bas eishes avicha moledes avicha achoscho hi. Lomeli, what do I need that pasuk for? We already learned from Pasuk Tes that you never have relation with your father's wife's daughter. So, what does this come to teach us? Shmamino lechaivo mishum achoso umishum bas eishes aviv. So the Chacham's opinion is, to add another lav. This is to tell us that you'd be chayiv two chatos if you had relations with such a girl who was your sister and your father's daughter at the same time. Very good. That's the Chachamim teaching us an extra law. That's why the extra pasuk Yud Aleph is there. According to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, though, he disagrees. He's only chayiv once. So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, what does he do with the extra pasuk? Omar Kro, he says, Achoscha hi, this second pasuk that says, Achoscha hi, that comes to teach us that you're only chayiv for Achoscha. Atum chayivo for Achoscha, v'yatum chayivo mishom bas eishes ovid. You're not chayiv for the fact that it also is your father's wife's daughter. You only chayiv one chatos if you would have relations with her. No, what did Rabbanan do with this miyut of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Achoscha? He because of Achoscha and not for anything else. So Hay Achoscha, he my of delay. What are they darshim from this seemingly extra word Achoscha? So the Chacham and the Tanakama, they darshim. Yivaylu, you need it. Lechayvo al Achoso bas aviv bas imo. They come to teach you somewhat paradoxically that if this girl is both your father and your mother's daughter, in other words, she's a full sister to you, not a half sister. She's a full sister to you. Then you're chayiv for both, achoso, and for your father's wife's daughter. So in this situation, you'd be chayiv for both. Now, why can't you automatically assume, if you're chayiv over here for having relations with your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, so certainly you'd be chayiv if you had relations with a daughter who was both the father and the mother's daughter. So this comes to teach us a very important din. Lomar she'ein masirim min hadin. You're not allowed to go and make any azhara, any isser, without it being specifically stated, even though it's obvious, a kal v'chomer. If you're chayiv for having with just a paternal sister, or you're chayiv with just a maternal sister, so then alachas kam v'kamo, you'd be chayiv with one who's both a paternal and maternal sister, but that's a kal v'chomer. And you can't go and make that to a punishment. You need to have a specific specification in the pasuk in order to be chayiv. And therefore, that's why you need this over here. New taka, this is a good reason. The Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, what does he say about this? The Imkain, he says, if this was the sole purpose of Pasuk Yud Aleph, so Lichta Rachmana Achoscha, then just write the word Achoscha, and that would teach us this din, Evin Masirin Min Hadin. Why does it say he, Achoscha, he, Lamoli, Mishum Achoscha, Atom Chaibo? That's the Miyot, the he is the Miyot, to tell us you only Chaib for Achoscha, V'i Atom Chaibo, Mishum Bas Eishes of it, but you wouldn't be Machaib over here for Bas Eishes of it. That's the opinion of Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. No, this is taka, good reason. What do the Chachamim now do with this reasoning? Rabbanan, they said, even though it does say achoscha, it's the rechlemichtav he, you need the word he. Even though it said achoscha as a miyut, I need the word he to teach us our drasha and not what Rav Yossi Rehuda learns. Why is that? Because shelo tomar bi'alma, because I would have said if you didn't have the word he, then in general, masir min adin, you are allowed to do this. And therefore, the cause of Rechmon Lomli, then what do we need the word Achoscha if you're allowed to go do this? To teach us, Milsi, the Asa B'Kal V'Chomer, Torah Kos of Lekra. Sometimes, while you could have learned something with the Kal V'Chomer, nevertheless, the Torah sometimes goes and learns it through an actual Pasuk. And therefore, I would have thought that you could be Masirim Min Hadin, but Kos of Rechmon Ahi, to teach us that no, a Masirim Min Hadin. So therefore, you need both Achoscha and he, even according to the Chachamim. No, that's taka, good reason. What does Rav Yossi Yehuda do with that? So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi Yehuda, what does he do with that? So Rav Yossi Yehuda, Imkain, if you wanted to do the drasha that the Chacham said, then you should have not written it in Pasuk Yud Aleph, you should have written it in Pasuk Tes. Lichta Rachmana, the words, La'achoscha hi, bidachkra, in Pasuk Tes, not in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Since you waited to go and put it in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's coming to teach me my drasha, Rav Yossi Yehuda. Now we still have some questions. Rav Yosef Yehuda, hi, bas eishes avicha, my ovidle. So then why does it tell us bas eishes avicha? If you're not using it for a lav to teach us an extra chattis over here, so then what's this doing? So Mevayle says, no, you need it. Mevayle, you need it. Mishiyesh lo ishus li avicha ba. It only applies to somebody that the husband, the father here, is allowed to go and have relations with that person. But this is pratli achoso with a sister, shein ishus li avicha ba. Because father wouldn't be allowed to have such a relationship, and therefore this excludes if the father had in fact had a relationship with a shivcha or an ovedes kochavim. Prat lachoso mi shivcha be ovedes kochavim shein ishos liavicha ba, that he couldn't have a child halachically from that relationship. Biologically, yes, but not halachically. New Gemara says ve'emah prat lachoso mi anusa. So then, say it's from an achoso from an anusa, that's also an improper relationship. So he says, no, their kedusha takes effect. Ha'ilo matzis amish, you can't say that, me the Rava, because of what Rava said. What did Rava say? Rava said, the Rava Rami, Rava said, ksiv, it says in one pasuk, now this is the middle pasuk that we haven't been having till now, this is pasuk yod, it says, ksiv, ervas bas bincha o vas vitcha lo segale, you're not allowed to have a relationship, it's an iser erva, with bas bincha, with your daughter of your son, or with the daughter of your daughter, your granddaughter. Ho bas bina dida, u bas bita dida, shari. But the parallel relationship with her son's daughter, or with her daughter's daughter, is actually permitted. So, uksiv, but it says, ervas isha bita lo sigala. But elsewhere it says that her son's daughter and her daughter's daughter are forbidden. So how could that possibly be? Ha-ketzad. So one place says they're forbidden, one place says permitted. So the answer is, Rava said to address this contradiction between the two psukim, so kan ba'onsin, kan b'nisuin. There where we said it's permitted, you're dealing over here with out of wedlock. And when you're dealing with wedlock, that's when it is forbidden. And you can see in the bottom Rashi, kan b'nisuin, so he says, Erevaz baz bincho me anusoso lo sigala, ho baz bino me ish acher gilo delav ishtachohi. Nevertheless, you see from here that such a child is considered a child, even though it's from an onus, from an out-of-wedlock situation. And likewise, so therefore, we see from here that they are considered a child, even though it is out of a wedlock situation. So therefore, you can say that we're dealing here with pratli achoso me'anusa, that would be the reason for having the pasuk, according to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, to exclude that and not to exclude Shivcho of Avedes Kochavim. No, the Achoso Me'anuso is considered a child. This is a good break point, even though we're still in the middle of the sugya, but we'll turn to the Chof Gimel Lamed Aleph tomorrow and we'll continue with this sugya. With this, we conclude today's shiur.